Okay, so Parsha Shemini. We're going to do a little overview of the Parsha. Well, I don't know, I'll get you a little bit of it.
Very little.
So what happens, someone mentioned, it might be a good idea to like remind us like what happens in the Parsha. So last week, the end of the Parsha, Moshe Rabbeinu.
I don't know how many of us can pull out which.
It was a good idea. So I didn't have a lot of time this morning, but well, basically what happens is last week Moshe finishes spending 7 days getting the Mishkan ready for use. And Vayihi Bayom, it's for 7 days. The Shiva Yisamim will do it for those 7 days. He's like the Kohen Gadol. He's getting it ready. And then on the 8th day, Vayihi Bayom HaShmini, this is when Aaron and his sons become the Kohanim Gadolim. He becomes the Kohen Gadol. His children become the Kohanim. And they start their work in the Mishkan. Okay, one of the big things that happens on this day. So this is like they start their work in the Mishkan, and the Mishkan now is inaugurated. Right? It's part of that story, right, is also the story of Nadav and Avihu. Right, while this whole party is going on, Nadav and Avihu get very excited, whatever it is exactly. We've talked about that at different times. And they go in and they bring the Esh Zara that Hashem didn't command. They die. And then Aaron and his other sons are given like rules about how to kind of manage through Avelos while they're also setting up the Mishkan. That's kind of like a difficult, hard thing. Aaron and Moshe have conversations there. There are other things that happen further on the Parsha, but that's kind of like the structure of where we are getting started. But I want to talk to you about something that goes on at the beginning, and you'll see what I mean. So let's take a look. Vayihi bayom hashmini, kara Moshe l'Aaron uvanav l'zikne Yisrael. So it's the 8th day now, after, like we said, the Shivus and Meluim are over, and now it's time for that 8th day, time to get moving. Moshe calls Aaron and his sons, and he calls the Zikne Yisrael. I think it's interesting, just take a look at source number 2 for 1 second. Rashi tells us, Vayihi bayom hashmini, shmini l'Meluim, right? Like I said, the 8th day now they're getting ready to use the Mishkan. Who Rosh Chodesh Nisan, which is Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Shehu kama Mishkan bo bayom. Right, that's what happened on that day. Fine. Ulezikne Yisrael, why does he have the Zikanim come along with? Says Rashi, Lahashmiyam Sha'apia Dibur Aaron Nichnas Umishamesh Bekuana Gedola. Vayomru, Velo Yomru Me'elav Nichnas. Right, no one should think that Aaron just like stepped up by himself, but the Zikanim are there. So it's clear who elected Aaron, which is ironic considering later on, Korach's rebellion has everything to do with this question, right? They argue that it's not really true. He was elected by Moshe only, etc. Because his brother. But just interesting. I thought it was interesting that the Zikne Yisrael is there for that purpose. Fine. Let's keep going on in the text. Aaron is told to take an egel and bring it as a chatas and an ILS and ola and bring it to Hashem. Anything interesting about Aaron taking an egel and bringing it as a korban?
Well, the whole thing with the
Igalazah, I guess. Who was kind of involved in that?
Aaron. Yeah.
Right, so we're going to see, this is going to become part of the conversation here, right? Aaron is told to bring a chatas to start off. He didn't do anything yet. He hasn't even served 1 minute as a Kohen Gadol, and the first thing he's asked to do is bring a korban chatas, well, which actually connects to what we talked about last week. But
right,
but
yeah, well,
it's for something you do wrong.
Okay, but also, right? That's why, like, when you say Mar right after Yom Kippur, the first thing you say is Baruch Rahum.
Okay, that's
it's
true.
A similar idea, like
maybe because he's getting started, he has to start with like a just in case. That you're mm-hmm. saying, right? Okay, could be.
I mean, but also there was a sin, so right? Like, so yeah, sense, but yeah, it's not like such a foreign concept uh-huh. in Judaism that it's like even though we should be like blank slate, everything's good. Like we still do chazak because like, yeah. there's always a sin we did.
Yeah. Good. Next, Val Bnei Yisrael to the Rebbele Mor, Kechu Tzirizim L'Chatas, and Bnei Yisrael also have to bring a chatas. Ve'ego Valkeves Bnei Shanat Timim L'Ola. They also bring a chatas and an Ola. Okay, and there's more karbanos, etc. Good. So now, look at Pasuk Zion. Vayomer Moshe el Aaron, Karav el HaMizbeach. Moshe says to Aaron, come close to the Mizbeach. Va'asei, Es chatascha v'asolasecha v'chaper barcha v'ara'am. Moshe says, Aaron, come. Like, let's go. Come bring your korban chatas and your ola, and it'll be a kapara for you and for the nation. Va'asei es korban ha'am v'chaper ba'adam kasher tziva Hashem. And then Aaron goes, Va'ikrav Aaron HaMizbeach, Va'ishchad es egel ha'chatas Hashem. Then Aaron comes. Anything like interesting about that dialogue that goes on there?
Why did Moshe need to tell him to come do it? Like, yeah, like if Hashem said do it, wasn't he just doing it? So it kind of implies that Aaron was.
And by the way, what happens at the beginning? What happens at the beginning? Vayhi bayom hashmini, kara Moshe l'Aaron. He called him up. Vayomer l'Aaron, kach l'chayeg. Like he told him exactly what to do. Mm-hmm. And that's what he says. And Moshe said, "Okay, Aaron, now it's your turn." Like, and by the way, like, is it possible he needed to give him directions?
Was he like Moshe explaining it to him?
Yeah, but did Hashem speak directly to Aaron?
Not in this case. He's telling Moshe to tell Aaron what to do.
Right.
So Moshe says, Aaron, your turn. So simple pshat could be what? It was his turn.
Yeah.
Right. The only problem with that is, what do you got to tell us?
Yeah.
Right? It's his turn. People take turns. I don't know. Like, I have to, Torah has to tell me that, okay, now we're now ready for number 673. You're next. Could be simple pshat is that he's just telling him to go next. But it's a little funny. Right? It's a little funny. You know, Aaron, now you go. And krav el mizbeach. Come close to mizbeach and bring your korban chatas. All right. Fine. And again, a simple pshat could be, I didn't bring the Rashbam. But simple pshat could be, yeah, just, you know, it's your turn. But it kind of begs the question, right? Like, what else is going on here? So, take a look. Go ahead.
There's a lot of text, so I'm like not comparing word for word.
That's okay.
But the whole like lich haper, like this is saying to atone for like, yourself and your people, and doesn't really seem like it's saying that in the beginning. Like it's not giving the
but
explanation
it didn't say
for
that,
why.
That Aaron should bring a burnt offering for his sin, right?
It says lichatas. It doesn't say why.
Right.
But you're right. But now
Moshe
he says
lichaper
ba'adcha. Right. And it's going to be
your
kapara. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Good. Good.
Words,
no, you're right.
Saying to offer,
correct.
And it's saying to offer for the people.
But that's separate, right? He's saying for your sin and then the people.
There's two different things.
Chatascha
ve'asolasecha.
Just bring a sin offering and a burnt offering.
Right.
Yeah.
And now Moshe's like letting him know it's for.
Right.
Yeah. My point is like I would get sometimes. We say the same thing, like the Torah really says the same thing twice. It's really just like copy and paste, just relaying it again. But there's a lot of different words, language, grammar between these two.
The original thing that he's told to do, and now he says, come closer and do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little different.
Was it like broken telephone? Like you didn't hear me right the first time, so you have to come closer?
Tell me all again. Wait, tell me all again. Yeah, good. Good, good, good. Excellent. Okay, so take a look now at Rashi. Okay, next Rashi. We have a bunch of Rashis here. So in source number two, look at the Rashi and Pasuk Bet. Kach lacha egel, lohodia shemechaper lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu ayadei egel, zeh, shouldn't be too haste, amaisa egel sha'asa. Okay, so Rashi already is getting into this, right? Why is he bringing a korban chatas? By the way, when you bring, this is helpful, did this last week a little bit, you bring a korban chatas when you do a bad aveira, and you do it how, though?
Like on purpose?
So this case, chatas is always going to be by accident. Like b'shogeg.
Right, okay, right.
Okay. Right, so chatas is only going to be b'shogeg. So I think it's an interesting point. Like a korban chatas is for big things, right? Things you're chayav kares for, like you did, you ate chametz on Pesach, or you remachal Shabbos, or you ate on Yom Kippur, or whatever. A chatas is brought when you do one of those big things, but you did it b'shogeg, right? So it's interesting that he's being asked to bring a chatas. He didn't make it b'shogeg. That's true, but he didn't really make it. But I'm not saying he did b'shogeg. I'm just saying it's interesting. On the one hand, you're asking me to become a chatas, which is like, ooh, sounds like a bad, you did something really bad. On the other hand, it's saying a korban chatas also is only something you did for shogeg, right? So, it is, and by the way, the people who danced around the egel, what happened to them?
They died.
They got killed.
Yeah.
3,000 people got murdered. Put to death.
Something big
by other Jews. By Levi. By Sheva Levi, right?
He did do something big accidentally. He was trying to stall them. This
right.
Time, whatever
we say for him, right? But yeah.
Resulted in a, right?
Right. So it's not, but I'm saying, if you, and then if you're about to like take this guy and make him Kohen Gadol,
yeah.
Right?
So, gotta purify him a bit.
It's like an interesting, if you think about like what's going on there
mm-hmm.
with that, it's complicated,
yeah.
Right? It's complicated. So Rashi says, so why am I bringing an egel? To show, right, that Kadosh Baruch Hu is mechapi. He brings the egel as a korban chatas, and Hashem accepts it. What does it mean?
Mm-hmm.
You're done. You're good. Hashem has accepted
says,
your tshuva.
And it says something, when you're thinking about this being the inauguration, like that's a really big message to send to the people too.
Yes.
Like this is very public. Everyone's seeing it, and everyone's seeing, look, Hashem forgives me, and except
right.
with like Dafka, the thing that I sinned with.
It's a very powerful message of Hashem's forgiveness of Aaron. Good. And by the way, like you said, a big message for what else? It could be also a message of like what this place is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The Mishkan as a place, which it is, by the way, we talked about that. I don't know if we talked about this time, but like Parashat Vayakel, right? The whole goal of the Mishkan at that point, certainly according to many, is that like Hashem's coming back mm-hmm. and saying, this is a place where you can deal with your mistakes and it's okay. I think we mentioned Rehersh says that, right? That
yeah.
This, now a place to come when you mess up. And I'm going to, if you really mean it and you really care and you want to do better, I'll give you another chance. Right? So it's actually very symbolic, not just of what happens for Aaron, but what this place is going to be like for the people. Okay. So, fine. And why is that? Kayom azin nira aleichem. Fine, we don't need that Rashi for right now. But look at the next Rashi. Krav el mizbech. Pasuk Zion. Rashi says, Krav el mizbech. Why is Moshe call Aaron to come close? Shahaya Aaron bosh v'yarei lageshet. Aaron was embarrassed. And he was yarei. He was afraid
because
to come
of
forward.
Sins?
Amar la Moshe, lama tabosh? Lakach. No, it's fine. So Moshe says, what are you embarrassed about? Lakach. You got to keep going, you know? I used to have this in yeshiva all the time. You read a Gemara, start reading a Gemara, and like, you're like, but wait a second, what about this? And you go around and ask a million people, and then you come back to the Gemara, it's like the next line, ask the same question. It's like, we just came reading on, you'd be fine. Right? So, Amal Moshe, Lama Tabosh, what are you worried about? Lekach Nifcharta. We have to translate this. This is a very important phrase to translate. Lekach Nifcharta. For this you have been chosen. That's one way to read it. Or you could say, like, when the language is like hilkach, usually means because of this, you were chosen. What's the difference?
One is
chosen
like
for this or because of this are two different things.
Yeah. You're chosen for this, meaning for?
To perform.
To be the Kohen Gadol. You're chosen for this. Or you're chosen because of this.
Yeah.
Might mean?
Because you had this center.
So like what does that mean? Like, how does that work? Okay. So that's part of the question here. Like, this is a very interesting Rashi, right? I think he's quoting a Medrash, right? Like, what is he asking? So first of all, like, why is he asking him, like, why are you embarrassed? I know you're embarrassed. You know that he's embarrassed. He told him to bring a korban mechadas because you didn't levera. Why are you embarrassed? Because I did, because you're like, we're going through a ritual here to cleanse me of the huge avera that I was a part of. Mm-hmm. And everyone else died and I got to move on here. And now just then I'm korban gadol. Like, what do you mean? Why am I embarrassed? Of course I'm embarrassed.
Yeah, but there's also like, and obviously, not to bring something so secular, and I was watching the latest season of The Crown.
Yes.
And before, I didn't like know this part of history, but when Charles and Camilla got married, part of like the agreement for that was at their wedding ceremony. They had to publicly apologize.
Yes.
Vaguely for like the sin that they did.
Yes.
So like, I remember seeing the dialogue between the queen and the church about that. And I'm like, no way you should agree to that. That's so embarrassing. But they did
they
do
did
that.
It. Right, they do. They
and
apologize,
like,
yes.
Maybe this is our own set of
right.
precedent
yeah.
for things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right? No, no, no.
Like, admit yourself.
No, but there's a value
wrong.
There. Today, you're not allowed to apologize.
So I feel like it's
today,
like
if you make a mistake,
thing, that the Christian people
out.
Really
where they
pop that up. Like,
right.
the
confession. Confession.
Yeah.
Confession.
Today, you don't apologize.
That's our whole thing.
What?
I'm saying, today, you're not allowed to apologize. Today, if you apologize,
points at all the reasons why
you apologize, then you show you're wrong and then you're canceled.
Just say,
can't, yeah, you can't apologize,
don't
right?
Say I'm sorry.
The good leaders do apologize. But yeah. So Aleph, like, why is he asking him, why are you embarrassed? And number two, what do you mean? Because of this, you're chosen? I mean, maybe you can understand it. But like, what is this language? It's very interesting. Like, kach nifcharta, you're chosen for this or because of this. So I'll share with you one, like, interesting shot, which I don't have for you in the sheet. It's the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov says that Moshe is communicating to Aaron that it's actually because you're embarrassed. Like, it's okay. Like, it's healthy sometimes. Like, you make a mistake and you feel bad. This is Gemara, actually. I wanted to bring in Gemara. This Gemara says that if a person does an Avera and then they're embarrassed afterwards, mochel nolal kol avonosav. Like, if you actually can say to yourself, like, that was bad and I feel embarrassed to the Ribono Shel Olam that I did that, that there's such a value in that. We're going to talk more about guilt and shame.
The whole problem is that you're not embarrassed.
Right.
And
right.
It's really,
right.
I
right.
can't tell
you. No, but you also hear the opposite sometimes. Like, we're going to talk about this in a second. We're going to see from Rabbi Dr.
Right.
Tversky.
You see a kid, or I've had a teacher call me and be like, your kid was obviously really upset about this. We're cool.
Right. Now. Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
They really feel it. They really feel bad. So then you don't have to do anymore. Right. You know that
you
they
shouldn't.
Really meant it. Right. That was really a mistake. And they learned the lesson. Right. So Baal Shem Tov says, Lekach Nivcharta. He's saying to him, no, it's because you.
And that's his nature.
Gufa, the fact that you act, that you're feeling like that, the fact that you're so hesitant, the fact that you feel bad, that's why Kadosh Baruch Hu wants you. Right? The fact that it matters to you so much is the reason why you're being chosen.
It wasn't clear that he was the Kohen Gadol at the beginning, like he wasn't in that role.
He hadn't done anything yet. He hadn't yet served as the. At this point, he has not yet served as the Kohen Gadol. It's just starting now. Yeah, it's just starting now. This is the first day. I mean, it should be called the first day. It's the eighth day, but you know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. But it's the first time he's doing this. But there's a couple other approaches to this, which I think are really interesting. You think of source number three, a Gemara in Yuma. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rishim Ben Yehotzadok. Yochanan said in the name of Rav Shimon ben Yotzadik. Ein ma'midin parnas ala tzibur, ela im kein kupa shel shratzim teluya lo me'achorav. Let's translate this phrase. You cannot set someone up to be a leader of the community unless he has a box of shratzim, literally means like creepy, crawly, disgusting things, hanging behind him.
Right. Why?
She im tazuach daito alav, because if he starts to act in a way that's not really so appropriate, he's not doing what he's supposed to do, omrin lo chazor la'acharecha. You say to them, like, well, remember where you come from. Which is complicated because you're not supposed to say to a Baal Tshuva, look what you used to do. Right? So what does that mean?
You're not even supposed to say that to a Baal Tshuva in a positive way? Like,
there's a question if you're allowed to say to someone, like, wow, it's amazing how you've grown. But it's very complicated to say. People do this all the time. Oh, yeah. Like, they'll ask people, like, they ask someone who was not for real, and they're like, oh, what did it taste like to eat? Da, 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 da. And like, you know, that's like embarrassing to them. Like, that's what the person can offer.
So it's interesting because I have issues where I say, is it a problem if it's not embarrassing for them? Is it, are you a Baal Tshuva? If you're like, oh my God, they can move on. And I'm like, you're actually not a Baal Tshuva. And being a Baal Tshuva, being sorry for something. Seriously, that's a good question.
But I'm just saying,
I don't know what the opposite.
It makes sense. Good. So what does it mean? What does this mean? You only have someone who's a leader if they have.
You need to have dealt with some problems.
Right.
That's how I. It's not where I thought you were going. I mean, I wasn't able to translate as much in my head, but I thought it was saying, like, you need to have some things that you've done. Overcome. Like, you need to have some, like, dirt in your background.
Yeah, that's what I was.
So that there's, like, something hanging over you to, like, keep you in check.
Yeah.
To, like,
do well. I think that's probably what it means. Let's see. We see what the Ksav Sofer thinks it means. But yeah, what?
Like, you have to have had some difficulties, had struggles, had overcome things on your own, like, to be
leading. Right, but it's not just overcome, like, hard stuff, like, you had a hard thing in your life. It's that you've...
That's what she's saying.
You have done things.
Right.
Kupa shel shratzim
to people who are trying not to do
it. Right, but it means that the things you're struggling with, it sounds like, were things that you did wrong.
But our Gedolim books do not talk about
all the... Oh, very good.
I always said I love David HaMelech the best. Who in the seminary?
Who would you want to be at your Shabbos table?
Who in the Bible do you admire the most? And even from a little kid, you want the one.
Because he says, Chatzati
L'Hashem. Exactly.
My bad.
You brought it up in
it was me.
And I was like, that's my favorite stuff. I did it.
Right. Exactly. So take a look. Take a look at the Ksav stuff. It's a little hard. Whatever.
We'll brush off our Rashi.
Your Rashi script?
Nice little Rashi.
I'll help you with the Rashi script, okay? Krav el mizbeach. Kus of Rashi, shehaya Aaron bosh v'yarei. Right? Rashi says that he was nervous and afraid. Amalo misham, amalo Moshe, lama atabosh. What are you afraid of? The kach nivchad, that's what you're chosen for. Tzarech lomar, what he means to say to him, marchil b'shtayim bosh v'yarei u'misayim ba'achas. Lama Tabosh. So he's asking questions. Like, I don't understand. Why does he start with two things? What are you afraid of? Like, why are you embarrassed? And, right? And why are you...
Yeah, he only addresses being embarrassed.
Right, he's just one of them. Right. So, Havlin Mimra, Lama Tabosh, VRA. Just say, why are you embarrassed and afraid? Address both. The Gavin Tzarech Lama, my Inyan Bosh VRA. Who cares that he's embarrassed and afraid? Right? So he's going to quote the Ramban in a second, but I want to skip the Ramban. And he skipped down one line where he says, "V'nira li shahayyare Aaron lageshet el avoda." Aaron was nervous to come to the avoda. Shiare le nafsho. He's nervous about himself. Shemi yichnos belibo ga'a v'ga'avan al hitnat nasuto hazeh. Natus hazeh. What is he nervous about? If you come to Kohen Gadol, what's going to happen to you?
You get proud.
You're going to become proud. He's going to become a balgaiva. Right? He's nervous to take on this role. Everyone, ooh, Aaron. You know, I knew Aaron when he was playing hockey in high school. And now he's the Kohen Gadol, right? So he's nervous that what's going to happen to him now. He's going to like become like this chashev of a person. And what's going to happen? He's so chashev, he's going to start thinking of himself as chashev. And the moment you start thinking of yourself as chashev, now you're in trouble. Right? Now you're in trouble. Right? V'lachein, yarei. That's why he was nervous. Right? Vizesha Amar Shahaya Bosh mi Cheta Egel. He was embarrassed at the Cheta Egel. Viare, what is he afraid of? Shlai Gaya, he shouldn't become a Baal Gaiva. So he had embarrassment and fear, two different things. Vine Amru Chazal Bishas Sanhedrin. He calls it Sanhedrin. It's also in Yuma, I guess. It's in both places. Kol Manig She'en Kupa Shal Shrotzim Tola Lo Me'acharav Ein Miskayemis. It's almost very similar language, right? A person doesn't have a Kupa Shal Shrotzim but thrown behind his neck, so he's not going to stay. V'lachein Shaul Lo Nitzkayma Malchuso. And that's why Shaul didn't make it, right? Ma She'en Kein David. Right, and but David did last. Vatam shlotazuach da'ato alav. Right, meaning what was Shaul's real problem? In the end, Shaul was the king, and what is the thing that he doesn't do that he was supposed to do? He doesn't kill all of Amalek. Right, he leaves Agag alive, and he leaves the animals. And Shmuel comes and says, Shaul, like, what's the deal? He's like, what do you mean? I did exactly what Hashem asked of me. What is that, Shaul? Look who I have better ideas than God has. Mm-hmm. Right? Shaul had never experienced, presumably, he was a good guy, Shaul. He hadn't done bad stuff. Any bad stuff. Mm-hmm. So what happened? When he became the king, he became a shtekel bagaiva. Mm-hmm. And when you become a bagaiva, then you think you know better than everybody. Right? And that was actually his downfall. David HaMelech, who blew it and was embarrassed of what he had done, had no reason to lift himself above others because he knew what he had done in his life. Right, so the argument is here that what's he nervous about? He's nervous that look what I did, and also now what's going to happen to me, and what's Moshe's response? You don't get it. You're all good. This is actually exactly what I want. This is what Hashem wants. He wants a person who's made some mistakes, so they know that they're human, and they've done some bad stuff, and it's embarrassing, and that they therefore will never think that they are so much better than somebody else, and then they can go ahead. And they can be the person who's in charge. And you're not going to fall into that trap of being a Malgai. So the kach nivcharta is exactly that language. You were chosen exactly for this. Yeah.
There's just a little part of this that it's like, it was really rich coming from Moshe because like he was supposed to be the Kohen.
Right.
And like thought he knew better than Hashem and was like saying no.
What do you mean? Oh, that he said that he refused?
Yeah.
Okay. That might be true.
I don't know. It's ironic
because Moshe also seems to, you're saying, tell God what he thinks is better or worse.
Yeah, like he was so humble, he like didn't want to accept it.
Right. So that's the difference. That might be the answer, right?
Okay.
That Moshe, again, we just read the text. Great to see you. At any time. We have a lot left. Moshe refuses, but Moshe refuses from a place of anivos.
Okay.
Not from a place of I know better than God, from a place of like I literally can't do this. Like this is not something that is appropriate for me. Again, he's wrong in the end, Moshe. That's not maybe he grows into that, right? That like that's not real anivus. Real anivus is not I'm a nobody. Anivus is I know that whatever I have from Hashem to do my job, I'm not better than anybody. I just have a responsibility. But you're right, it's like a little funny coming from Moshe. Okay. Fine, but I think a really interesting approach, right? So the Baal Shem Tov is right. It's actually similar, right? It's because you show that embarrassment that I want you, right? That's such a value to be a person who's okay. I can say I did it wrong, but the Ksav Sofer is a step further, right? It's the embarrassment that allows him to be a leader because of a person who has that ability to say, like, you know what, I'm not, you know, God's gift to whatever is a person who's able to be a real leader. But I want to show you now the Ramban, okay? Ramban in source number 5. Okay, so Ramban in source number 5 says the following. Vitam krav el mizbeach. Krav aron el mizbeach v'yishchat. So Aaron comes close and he does what he's supposed to do. Al da'ati b'derech ha'pshat. The simple pshat, says the Ramban. Yomar karev el tzafon el mizbeach. Okay, so simple pshat, says the Ramban. He was just telling him where to go. Go to the northern part of the mizbeach. That's your job. Go to that area. That's fine. Go there. Va'asei sham ha'chatas va'ola. Ki heim shchitasam b'tzafon. They get shechted in the north. V'amar Moshe came b'derech tzara shekfar yada Aaron's. He's saying, go to your place. So Ramban, by the way, you know, the simple pshat is like what the Rashban probably would say. He's just giving him instructions. However, the Ramban takes another approach. Avabatoras Kohanim nisoru rabosinu b'zeh. The Toras Kohanim is about, you know, brings up this point. And I'm just going to explain the question we're asking is when Moshe Rabbeinu is getting Aaron ready to come to Kohen Gadol, so he says to him, Krav el mizbeach, come close. And Rashi says that Aaron was embarrassed to come because he had been involved in the Chet Egel. And Moshe says, don't worry about it. This is why I chose you. And the question is, like, what's Aaron afraid of? What's Moshe giving him chizuk? That's the question. So Ramban says like this: "If Avatars Kohanim Nis Oru Rabosinu Baze." Chazal talked about this. Mashlu Mashal Lamad Avadomer. They gave a mashal. Lamelech Basar Vadam. You have a human king. Shenasa Isha. They got married. Vahaisa Mit Bayeshes Milfanav. And this new queen who's marrying the king, she's like embarrassed in front of him. Nichnasa Etzla Achosa. Her sister comes in. Amala. She says to her, Achosi. Meaning, her sister says to her, like, what are you embarrassed about? You were chosen to be the queen. Like, this is your job. This is why you're here. It's like the coach saying to this guy, like, we're in the finals now. Like, you're the guy. Go for it, right? Hagisi dateich. Go do your job. Kach amala Moshe la'aron. Aaron achi, my brother, right? Because it's sisters, right? They're brothers, right? Aaron achi. Lama nifcharta liyos kohen gadol. Why are you trying to go in Gadol? To do your job. That's why Hashem chose you. Do your job. Go for it. Fine. It's a beautiful, very beautiful mashal. But there's more here. V'yesh omrim. But there are those who also say, and this is what I really want to get to. Haya Aaron roes ha-mizbeach kitavnis shur. Aaron saw the mizbeach and it looked like an ox. Looks like a cow. Okay, how does it look like an ox? Right? What does that mean? There's the Mizbeach actually has four like horns.
Was this like a Rorschach test? That's
around the Mizbeach. It has four little things that stick out. Okay, like two sets of horns. Good, but yeah, exactly, right? Oh, okay. So he sees the Mizbeach and he's like, what does he see in front of his face? He sees the Egel Azav. He's about to go bring the korban, and he's like, "I can't do this." I, like it's standing in front of me. Amazing, right? Right? Okay. He was afraid. Nichnas Moshe Etzel. So Moshe comes over to him. Amar lo Aaron, achi lo tirami masha tamire. Don't be worried about it. Hagas datcha uva karev alav. Bring it. Lekach amar karev karav mizbeach. Vayikrav es al mizbeach vizrizos. And that's what he said. Go. Don't worry about it. It's fine. V'tam davar zeh, says the Ramban, next paragraph. Why is that? Ki bavur shehaya Aaron kadosh Hashem, ve'im benafsho chit, zulasi, maisa egel. Aaron hadn't done any avirus. So this is the one he had done. Haya hachit hahu kavu alo b'machshavto. It was
etched
in his mind.
It's really what you said. It's really like a Rosh Hashanah, because it's like anybody else would have just seen nothing, and all he sees is something that's like obviously still...
It's
traumatizing
him.
Yes. Kinin shenamar v'chatasi negdi tamid. My avera is in front of me all the time. V'anid malo ki'ilu tzuras ha'ego sham me'akev v'kaparosav. He felt like the eagle in front of him was like holding him back. L'kach amr lo ha'geistad chash lo yesh v'aruach kolkach shekvar ratza elokim es masav. You don't have to feel like so bad. Okay? So what's happening here with Aaron? There's a balance. Right, we want Aaron to feel a little bad, shtickle embarrassed. That's okay. That's what happens. You do something wrong.
Hold you back from doing your holy duty.
Okay. So take a look in source number 6. Source number 6 is a book. It's a great book. Okay. It's a book called Life is Too Short by Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Tversky. Rabbi Tversky wrote 50 books. And he said, I wrote 50 books and they're all on the same topic, self-esteem. This one's actually about self-esteem. It's a great book. I share this book with a lot of my students all the time. It's an excellent, excellent book. Because he talks about he begins the book talking about himself. His own like challenges with self-esteem, which you can't imagine. Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Tversky like saved thousands of people's lives, you know? And he had real trouble with his own self-esteem. But he talks about the difference between shame and guilt. And different people use this in different ways, how they define these things, but he defines it in a certain way. Shame and guilt are both unpleasant emotions. They are often used interchangeably. And a person may say, I feel guilty for what I've done, and I'm ashamed for what I did, referring to the same act. Actually, these two easily confused feelings are different, and it's helpful to distinguish between them. According to current psychological thinking, guilt comes from, I don't know what current was, like in the 1990s, I'm not sure. Yeah, I don't know when he wrote it. Guilt comes from doing something wrong, violating a moral, ethical principle. When such a violation occurs, guilt is a healthy feeling. It stimulates us to rectify the wrong by making restitution, by apologizing, or by religious expiation, whichever is appropriate. The discomfort of guilt also serves a preventative purpose. It can discourage us from wrongdoing because of the knowledge that afterward we will feel guilty, right? So guilt is a feeling that I did something that doesn't line up with my values. I believe, I want to live a certain way. I believe in certain things. Mm-hmm. And I did something which does not fit, right? My mom is a speech, a life coach. She calls them things like resonant decisions. Mm-hmm. You make a decision that is in line with your values, you feel good. When you do things that are not in line with your values, you feel mixed up and uncomfortable.
But right? It's so sad because he didn't purposely do anything like that went against his values. Like, he thought he was doing the right thing.
Well, I think he probably afterwards felt like it was the wrong thing.
No,
like,
for sure.
He should have found some other way of
fending
them off. Yeah, but he felt, you know, this is Aaron Cohen. And what he does matters.
Yeah.
Right? You can't just like, he's not a regular guy. Mm-hmm. He's standing in a certain position of leadership, even before his Cohen Gadol. And like, he made a mistake. Right? So again, Rabbi Twersky's not saying talking about Aaron. But yeah, but the point is like the regular guilt of like, shoot, I shouldn't have done that. That feels really bad. Like it just like it hurts. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you feel like right here, like your whole body just like feels uncomfortable because like you did something you shouldn't have done. Or I shouldn't have said that. That's not who I am. Right? And you just feel
guilty. Like one of the premises of cognitive behavioral therapy is like the feelings that you have help. It shows a lot about your character and can help guide you to
what
make
you believe.
Different decisions.
Right. Like, I don't want to feel like that.
Yeah.
Right. So that's guilt, but that's normal and that's healthy. Mm-hmm. So society today probably doesn't even want us to feel that sometimes. Right. Don't even feel that. But okay, fine. That's healthy. Shame is of a different character and may have nothing to do with a real or fantasized act. Shame is a feeling of I am no good. If an automobile that was not that was functioning perfectly could think and feel and had the feeling of I am a lemon, that would be equivalent to shame. Mm-hmm. Right? Meaning, you're fine, but you think that you're bad. In such a case, there's no way to fix the car, since there's nothing wrong with it. Right? If guilt can be summed up as, I made a mistake, shame is the feeling, I am a mistake. When there's no justification in reality for such a feeling. Shame is a deeper, more painful, and more pervasive feeling than guilt. Whereas we can relieve guilt through amends or expiation, there's no similar action that can remove the feeling of shame. Thus, shame may result in despair, obviously, through therapy, etc. People can overcome shame also. Right, but the point being, and I think it's exactly what you see in the Ramban. Mm-hmm. Go back to the Ramban. Right, that last paragraph. V'tam davarzeh ki bavur shehaya Aaron kadosh Hashem ve'ein b'nafsho. I don't know if he means this exactly. Ein b'nafsho chait zulati masik. Did it mean Aaron never did any other avera ever in his whole life? Maybe. Or what else could it mean?
He feels like shame about.
This is the one that he, in his nefesh, in his soul, he carries it with him. This is the avera that he carries with him wherever he goes. Right? He can't get away with it. And that's what he says. Right? Hayachit ha'u kavua lo b'machshavto. Right? And it was like, ki'ilu, the ego was right in front of him and it would hold him back. I can't do anything of value ever again because I'm bad. Because what I did was so horrible. And because of that terrible thing that I did, I can never be better. And that's what Moshe says, no. Karav l'mizbeach. Aaron, you did it. You did a bad thing. You're not a bad person, right? You're not broken. You can overcome this. And so there's a value in the bosh, but at a certain point, not anymore. Mm-hmm. At a certain point, time to move forward. I heard a great story once that Shlomo Volbe wrote Ali Shores. He was the Mashkiach in Yerushalayim for many years. He passed away in 2008. So he once had. So people come to him all the time for Eitzah. So someone once came to him, the person was having a very hard time in life, you know, just difficult in life. And Sir Volbe showed him the Pasuk in Mishle. Rabos machshavos b'levish v'atzas Hashem hitakum. Right? Which is, he asked the guy, you know, translate it. So he said, man has a lot of thoughts, right? But Hashem's ideas are what happened in the end. Atzas Hashem hitakum. Hashem's itza, what's going to happen is going to be whatever Hashem's want. I can have all kinds of ideas, but man plans and God laughs, right? Mm-hmm. Volbe said, no. Read it again. Rabos machshavos b'levish. We might have a lot of thoughts in our heart, right? Things that bug us. V'yatzas Hashem hi, and what's Hashem's guidance? Takum. Get up. Get up. Enough. Don't wallow. Don't sit in it. But look what I did, and look who I am, and look what other things I've done, and look things I messed up. And Move on. You can feel bad. Doesn't mean you never feel bad ever. Doesn't mean I never have a bad feeling. It doesn't mean I don't ever experience challenge or pain. No, that's okay. you did something bad, you can feel bad about it, you can apologize and live and, you know, and like step up to the plate and apologize and say you did the wrong thing. And then now we're over. Now we're done.
So this is our own therapy to come and like be able to move past
that. That's what Ramban says. Right? That Moshe says to him, Krav al Mizbech, let's go. Enough. It's enough. You've suffered enough. You feel bad. We know you feel bad. Hashem knows you feel bad. Finished. Now go forward.
Okay. I know I came late and I could
just... No, you got enough. You're here enough for this.
But anyway, so where is Moshe hitting the rock? Come into this and not be permitted to go.
Oh, okay, fine. So I'll give you an answer. This is my favorite answer to that question.
Wow.
Actually, Moshe made a mistake, so why can't he go in? So I heard one of my favorite answers to that question is the following. Moshe, I forget who says this. That Moshe Rabbeinu, everything that he does, everything he says, is known to be as what Hashem, the word of God.
Right.
It's called Toras Moshe.
Right.
Right? Hashem said, talk to the rock. Moshe hit the rock. If Moshe hits the rock when God said, talk to the rock, and God says, no problem. What does that call into question? Every single thing that Moshe Rabbeinu has said now, there is an opening for someone to say, well, maybe God didn't really say that. Maybe he said something similar to that. Maybe it was divinely inspired, what Moshe says, but Moshe really made the final decision. After all, God told him to speak to the rock, and he hit the rock, and God seemed pretty okay with it, or he gave him a slap on the wrist. So what does God say? Moshe, I have to actually remove you from being the leader now. Immediately. Why? Because if I don't, then everything that you have taught in my name is called into question. That's not really fair. That's like pretty serious. But at least to me, it makes sense, right? You're trying to teach something to millions of Jews forever. We're going to believe in this for thousands and thousands of years. Moshe's punishment, actually, to me, it reinforces everything else that he taught us. Mm-hmm. Because it's terribly sad for him. But at the end of the day, it reinforces. That's one shot that I actually like very much.
Sharon doesn't like that.
No, but it's a fair point. It's very hard. But why is the Moshe left the home? It's fair. Some say, by the way, that
we just accept on blind faith when Abraham started to leave. Okay?
Yeah.
Goes back lots of parts of those. And this is one of the things we just have to accept.
That's also true. Yeah. By the way, some say that Aaron's not being like, why doesn't Aaron get it to go into Eretz Israel? Some say it's really his punishment for the Chet HaEgel.
It's punishment for what?
The Chet HaEgel. And that it was delayed. It was like delayed. We did the rock thing. He was at the rock thing also, but he didn't hit the rock. But, you know, that he's sort of like included. There's a lot of... The Mepharshim are bothered by your question also. Like, what's the big deal? You know, why make it such a big deal? People are bothered by it because it's a fair point. But I think what's nice here, at least, is that the message here for Aaron, at least for the rest of his life, is like, you can make big mistakes. You can say you're sorry if you mean it. And you can move forward. And God's cool with that. Mm-hmm. Actually, it's actually what God wants. And if anything, God might make you a leader because of it.
Yeah.
It's actually pretty amazing.